Montreal. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM here on the McGill radio station. And as it is 2:05, we're a little late today, but it's Movement Museum time. My name is Allison Burns, and I'm here with my current co-hosts, Jen Doan and J.D. Papillon. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, what's up? Now, you can find us on movementmuseum.com. You can also go to iTunes and download our show. And, and you can even go to the CKUT website and see old episodes, listen to old episodes. There's not really much to see here. It's all done. Regardless, Jen, what do we have today? What's going on this month?
All right. So this month, this is our second annual circus special. Every July, we have Montreal here has the Montréal Complètement Cirque Festivals. We dedicate this month to circus arts, and we talk to a lot of the circus artists who are going to be presenting in this show. So we started last week, and we actually spoke to Eric Bates, who is a cigar box juggler from Les Sept Doigts de la Main, which they're presenting Séquence 8, and actually the show starts today. We're going to continue with another circus artist. And actually, before we continue, I'm just going to give a little rundown on what Montréal Complètement Cirque is, for those who don't know what it is. So it actually runs from July 5th to the 15th, and basically is a huge festival to showcase and promote a wide array of circus art forms, including, you know, its own homegrown artists, which we have a huge, huge base of circus arts here in Montreal, in Quebec, and also to showcase all the circus companies from around the world. And since 2004, La Tohu has been presenting some of the world's largest gathering spaces for the circus and training and creation, production, and performance. So, this year, they're also going to be presenting a whole bunch of shows, including one that is called La Soirée, and they're from the UK. And this company is quite... I'm really sad that I can't make this show, and I think JD is the lucky one here that gets to see this, but I haven't read anything that doesn't make me want to just, like, go to see the show. I hear things from Demented and Delicious to Spellbinding Circus to gut-busting physical comedy. There's so many good quotes from their press release that it's just amazing. So they're here in Montreal to present the crème de la crème of twisted cabaret entertainers from around the world in a unique and inspirational night of live entertainment. And their show is going to be running opening tomorrow, July 6th until the 15th at L'Olympia. So today I'm going to pass it over to JD, and he's going to introduce our guest from La Soirée.
Yeah, today we're supposed to talk to Ursula Martinez, who is originally from Spain and is performing with that UK company. She is a writer, an actress, and a cabaret performer. According to her press release, she plays with making her handkerchief disappear during her striptease burlesque number, which I am very excited to see, I must say. And she is one of the original member of the company, but she came before to Montreal with the company La Clique. So this will be, I believe, her first time performing for the company La Soirée in Montreal. And according to the press release again, it says that she dares to take the audience in places where they are not used to go. And this means that it should be a really interesting evening with her, I believe.
Is Ursula, are you there?
I am here.
Wonderful. Yeah. How do you feel about that introduction?
Yeah, it's all good. I like the part that I take audiences to places where they don't kind of dare go, or maybe haven't been taken before. And it's true that my act is quite daring and quite provocative. But at the same time, totally acceptable.
Acceptable?
Yeah, yeah. It's acceptable in practice. It's not acceptable on paper. if you were to describe what I do, it's not acceptable. But actually, in practice, it is.
And what makes it not acceptable on paper, dare I ask?
Well, because if you describe it coldly, this is a performer who makes a red silk handkerchief disappear, and she removes items of her clothing until she's completely naked, and then finally she makes the handkerchief disappear and makes it appear from dot, 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 dot. this can sound quite shocking, and it is a little bit shocking, but it's done with such kind of cheekiness and playfulness, and also with a level of sophistication that I've taken this act around the world, you know, 5 times over, and I've never actually managed to offend anybody.
You just mentioned cheekiness. How important for you is it to approach something such as burlesque and striptease in a way that is cheeky? How do you feel that it adds to the number?
Well, for me, you know, the best burlesque performances are a combination of sexuality and comedy. And I think sometimes in the new wave burlesque, sometimes the comedy element falls by the wayside and there's more of an emphasis on sexuality. But for me, the best kind of burlesque numbers are the ones that combine sexuality with humor. So for me, it's very important to add humor and play and comedy and cheekiness into the act.
So Ursula, I want to ask, how did you get involved with La Soirée? It seems like the whole company and the whole show is just so full of such a wide range of artists and talents from so many different.
It's a variety show in the true sense of the word. There's comedy and burlesque and circus and acrobats and comedy and cabaret and vaudeville, and which is why it has attracted a lot of different kind of press comments. And we all exist as artists outside of the show, and the producers of the show have seen us who travel around the world. We travel around the world as artists, and the show travels around the world. And somewhere along those travels, the producers see the performers and invite us to perform in the show. So, we all exist as artists outside of the show, and we've been brought together.
How exactly were you guys brought together for this show?
Say that again?
How exactly were you guys brought together for the show? Like, how did you... Was there somebody who kind of had a vision and kind of, you know, asked different people to join, or...?
Brett Haylock is the artistic producer of the show. So when he sees something or somebody or an act that he likes, then he'll simply approach the artist and say, are you interested on being in the show? So there is now a wider pool of artists that are associated with the show, and depending on where we are in the world and people's availability, any sort of like combination of those artists will get asked to be in the show. So there's a wider pool, and not everybody can be in the show at the same time. It depends on people's availability. And then the important thing is simply to get the ingredients right, the ingredients of sexiness and of comedy and of skill. So to make sure that all the ingredients are covered in the show, and that's the most important element. So it doesn't have to be the same artists all the time, but just to make sure that there's the textures are there.
Are you restricted once you've created a piece for this show from doing it solo again? Do they kind of...
Not at all. No, absolutely. No. There's not a sort of exclusivity.
So the beauty of La Soirée is not the uniqueness of the acts, but that the combination of them, and like you were saying,
it's the curation, right. If you like. It's like in an art gallery, a curator will on the wall put a variety of pictures or sculptures within the wall in the room, and that creates a fantastic show. So it's the curation of the show in a way that makes it special, and also the attention to detail, the stage managers and the people who greet you are all dressed in a way that belongs to the same aesthetic, so that's all kind of like tied in, and the meeting and greeting of audience and the way the way the acts happen after each other, with attention to timing and smoothness, and yeah, the whole kind of production values of the show, of how you put all those acts together, and the precise order that you put them in is very important for the journey of the show. Obviously, there's no narrative in the show in the old-fashioned sense of the word, but it definitely takes you on a sensational journey.
Now, Jen mentioned words in her description like spellbinding circus and gut-busting physical comedy and twisted cabaret entertainers, and I'm wondering, this is getting me a little bit closer to imagining what your show is like.
I'm the twisted cabaret.
Yeah, that's you.
That's me, yeah.
What would you say makes La Soirée a little different than Sept Doigts de la Main or Cirque Eloise, or what is your signature as a group, as a troupe?
Well, I think the fact that it's sort of individual artists presenting their individual pieces. There's a couple of double acts as well in the piece. I think the intimacy of the staging, it's a very small stage. I can't remember what the diameter of the stage is, but it's only like, you know, 2 meters in diameter. And so it's performed in the round, and there's a real intimacy in the staging. And I think, because it's individual artists, it's very, very personality-led. Hmm. So you really get a sense of personalities on stage and individuality. But that is not always as present in circus, per se, as it is in this show. So I think, yeah, a lot of individuality and personality and intimacy. You really get to kind of see these people and see their sweat and smell their sweat and look into the whites of their eyes.
I did notice that on the Montreal Complètement Cirque website, the description of the show did include character descriptions, which is unique from the other descriptions of the different shows happening during the festival. So
sure,
I understand
exactly.
That,
yeah, and it goes back to that
emphasis.
Thing of just very personality-led, yeah.
And Ursula, when exactly, what year did La Soirée, when was it created exactly?
Well, it's a little bit complicated. We were originally this kind of troupe of artists. We were originally in La Clique, and we came to Montreal in a show called La Clique. And due to complicated matters with names and copyrights and producers and things, we broke away from the name La Clique and reformed as La Soirée. So we're basically, the core artists of La Clique are now working under the name of La Soirée, and La Soirée has been going since, let me think, I think since December 2009, I believe.
So when you first started, like you were saying, that the core group of artists, I mean, were you guys kind of wearing all the hats, you know, producing and creating together and getting gigs and all of that? Is that, I'm wondering how it started for you
really.
Guys?
No, really. We all came on, we came on board already as artists, you know, doing our own thing with our own careers. I mean, some of the original cast members have developed new acts since the start of the show. And that has been quite a collaborative process. I mean, we all know each other so well now because we've been working together for 7-8 years and touring the world together. And we know each other well. And when somebody has an idea for a show, we'll talk about it and show each other and say, hey, how about this? And we'll give each other feedback. We know each other and trust each other very well, and we actually really, really get on as a group of people. And I think that's also the success of the show is partly due to the fact that we do actually get on well. And although we don't actually perform together on stage, I think there is an intangible sense that we are very much a company and a kind of traveling group of people who know and love each other.
That sounds like
a hippie cliche.
it does lend itself to the success, because to work with 7 to 8 people, core people, you know, it's a lot of people to collaborate with and to make decisions with. And so in order to be successful, you're going to have that kind of chemistry for sure.
And a happy cast backstage, you know, is a happy cast on stage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And are you the only burlesque performer in the troupe?
I suppose so. Yeah, maybe I'm. Yeah, I'm the only chick who gets her clothes off. That's what you mean. But there's plenty of sexy guys in the show as well who not necessarily show all, but show their spectacular wares.
I'm wondering, burlesque has been coming more and more to my attention these days, and I'm wondering if that's because it's more popularized, or
it's
if...
It's very, very fashionable at the moment. It's been fashionable in London for several years now, but it hasn't gone back down. It's still kind of maintaining a very strong presence in the UK, but as I say, that's been like that for a number of years, and that is now filtered through into other countries. I've just recently been in a burlesque festival in Barcelona, so this kind of idea of burlesque is seeping out of New York and London, where it's been quite dominant for a few years, and is kind of it's taking the world by storm.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're catching the tailwind from New York and London. Is that
maybe.
Kind of the heads of it? Okay.
And how much do you let yourself be influenced by other burlesque performers you have seen? Do you feel that there is a sort of cohesiveness in the burlesque scene worldwide, or is it something that's very personal that you feel is not really influenced by anyone else?
For me, it's quite personal. I mean, I don't even consider myself a burlesque performer. I have ideas I do two acts in the show. I also do a comedy flamenco routine where I sing and play the guitar and keep my clothes on. So, although I'm quite rude as well, but verbally rude. I have ideas for shows and for cabaret acts, and for me, not necessarily I'm trying to make a burlesque routine. And in fact, I've been doing my magic striptease act for about 12 years now, which was really kind of even before burlesque became kind of big in London. So, yeah, I don't consider myself necessarily a burlesque artist. I don't take my influence from that genre. I just happen to make work that has been described as burlesque.
All right, fair enough.
So just because you're kind of representing the team of La Soirée, can you give us a little bit of a tidbit
pitch?
on some of the other characters? There's some of them I'm looking at here on the website, and they look really interesting. La Gâteau Chocolat.
Gâteau Chocolat, he's the larger than life drag queen, opera singer from Nigeria, based in the UK. He's fantastic, incredible, opens the show with Nessun Dorma and false eyelashes. There's two wonderful clowns in the show, Mookie Cornish and Nathan Cooper. A female clown and a male clown do two fantastic clown acts. There's the sexy bath boy, who was originally seen here in Montreal in La Clique. He does a very, very sexy aerial strap act.
Did you say bath boy?
Bath boy, yeah, that's his nickname. Because he does a strap act above a bath, and he gets in the bath with his jeans, and his jeans start dripping with water, and he swirls around the crowd, kind of dripping water onto them. And it's very, very sexy and balletic and beautiful and spectacular. There's also a very, very skilled, beautiful, and spectacular male pole dancing routine that's very acrobatic and very strength-based, but also at the same time incredibly sexy. And a very sexy hula hooper from the Ukraine.
Very cool. Is this something you should take a date to?
Definitely.
If you're on a really good date, yes.
This show is just sexy, period.
If you want to impress somebody, if you want to score, you know, if you want to add a bit of spice to a relationship, come to the show. Definitely.
Fantastic.
Book a hotel room afterwards.
I think, does anybody else have any questions on that note, or do we all need a break?
Follow up on that, yeah. I'm going to go drink some water.
Do you have anything left to say, Ursula, on the topic of the show, on the topic of your act, on the topic of La Soirée?
Come to the show. There's something for everyone. If you're of a very, very, very delicate disposition, don't come. But there's something for everybody, and please do come down and have fun with us.
All right. Thank you so much, Ursula, for joining us on the show today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So we just want to let everybody know that was Ursula Martinez from La Soirée. They're a troupe from the UK. Award-winning, sounds spectacular and sexy and hot and just quite fabulous in all the senses. So the show opens on Friday, and I believe there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 shows that you can make. They run from the 6th until the 15th, which is the end of the festival, and they're presenting their show at L'Olympia. Does anyone know where that is?
Yeah, it's in the village. Basically between Berry-Uquam and Beaudry on St. Catherine.
Okay, great. Yeah, 120 minutes here it says. Check out the show. I think you get to go see this tomorrow night,
yes,
right?
After this, I am very excited to see the show.
Sweet. All right, so I think we can probably take a break and come back and probably do a few show reviews to wrap up the madness of Montreal Fringe, I believe.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to Movement Museum here on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm Allison Burns with J.D. Papillon and Jen Doan. And if you're listening to the first half of the show, we had a guest on from one of the productions happening during Montréal Complètement Cirque. Am I right, Jen?
Yes. Montréal Complètement Cirque is running today, starts today and ends on the 15th. They've got a wide, huge range of shows from lots of artists here based in Quebec and worldwide. And it actually seems like there's a lot of companies from Finland who are here this year. So just to let everybody know, show opens today with the opening of Séquence 8, Sept Doigts de la Main. And I think their show is running, like, they've got about 8 or 9 shows as well. And I think we mentioned earlier we wanted to talk a little bit about another show that was of interest to us.
Yeah.
The Underman. Jay, do you want to talk a little bit about that show?
Yeah, Underman, I actually looked up their show and information about their show quite a bit recently. It's a very interesting concept right off the bat. It's basically three guys who were the Undermen. The Underman position in hand-to-hand acrobatic is the guy below who is supporting the flyer. The flyer is the person doing the more acrobatic movement on top. And those guys were all Undermen. And it's a position that doesn't detract attention as much as the flyer, because they're not as, what they do doesn't appear as impressive as what the flyer does, but it's the base, it's a very important position. And what they do is, they were all three guys who were left by their flyers, and usually the relationship between a flyer and the underman, the base, is very strong. It's people who work together for many years, who become really close. Quite often there's relationships that evolve out of that partnership. And those three guys were left by their flyers, whoever they were doing the hand-to-hand acrobatics with for many years. And they decided to do a show where they would explore their relationships, their issues with their own masculinity, with being left behind, and with being out of the spotlight even while they are performing. And this is the basic concept of the show. And from what I've read about the show, this relationship is the most interesting aspect of it, because there are three big burly men who do acrobatics together now. So there's always this element of danger of big guys just throwing themselves at each other. But at the same time, they explore their more sensitive, broken side. And this mix is supposed to be just fantastic to observe. So that's one of the shows I'm very excited for during Montréal Complètement Cirque.
This is a really fun time of year for me because we don't talk about circus a lot throughout the year. Every once in a while there's a burlesque performer or whatever that pops up on our radar. But it's fun to dedicate a full month to circus because it is movement and it is impressive and there's so much circus in Montreal. It's a hotbed for circus. So I'm very excited about the Montréal Complètement Cirque Festival. All right, so let's close the book on that for now.
Yeah, let's move on to a few reviews that we have. Yeah. Yes, for Montreal Fringe. How did that go for you guys?
It was amazing. I think we should probably mention right off the bat, get it out of the way, that both JD and I were involved in a show or two at the Montreal Fringe Festival. So we won't be technically reviewing those because that's just not fair.
Oh, come on.
They were fantastic. They were amazing. Though, but we won't talk about
that. Best shows in the Fringe. So JD and I were both performing in Stephanie Robert's Eenie Meenie Miney, which was a show that was a co-production with her company, Correspondance, and Matt Goldberg's Confabulation. We had a different storyteller every night, and the sequences, the preset sequences, were presented in a different order based on which card each performer pulled. So it was a life-size card game involving drinking, divulging, and dancing.
And random fun.
Yeah. Little task cards as well. It was very playful. It was all based on kind of childhood memories and games. And it was really, I had a lot of fun myself performing. And I think our audience felt that. I think our audience had a lot of fun watching the
show. There was a lot
of
electricity in the air during each show. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was just a great experience all around. If ever Stephanie wants to work with me again, I am game. She was amazing.
A little shout out to Steph.
Woo. All right. So what other dance shows did you guys get to check out?
Hold on. There's one more that we got to mention that JD was also in Keep the Car Running.
Keep the Car Running.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, JD? Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, it was choreographed by Cassandre Lescarbot. We'd been working on that show for a year and a half. It was a show that started as a Concordia dance piece and that took a life of its own. We presented it a different version at the Saguenay Fringe last September. And we presented the final updated version this year at the Montreal Fringe. And it might evolve into something else that will come around September, but I won't say any more about that yet. But it was a great experience, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's talk about the stuff we've seen that we can be a little bit more objective about. JD, did you see Le Projet Migration?
I missed it. I know. And that was the one show that you told me you cannot miss.
I saw this one really early in the festival. And then every time I bumped into someone, I told them to see the show. Whether or not they wanted to see a dance show, I told them they had to see this one. It was a gem. It was Christine Germain, who was actually a Concordia grad from a few years back. And the story goes that she moved to California and she started dancing with this gentleman called Slater. And, they fell in love and she extended a visa or two until she couldn't anymore and she had to come back to Montreal. So they got married so they could keep on dating and they created this show. I believe it was like something like 45 minutes. It isn't terribly long, but it's so packed and it you want more by the time the lights go out. They created this sweet little show based on that experience and it involves very physical partner work. It involves a lot of really nicely placed visual scenes that they do with their bodies and a few simple props. It also involves text, just honest storytelling of their story and put on. They have a third character who's like a customs agent who comes in and out of the work to kind of be that extra element of their struggle that doesn't come from either one of them. And it goes up and down. You see their difficulty. You see their joy. You see in abstract and literal ways some of the struggles they go through. And it's just so concise. Everything is necessary. Mm-hmm. Anytime they introduced a new element, and I would kind of be like, well, that's interesting, but what are you going to do about that? And then they would bring it to such a wonderful new place that I would be so satisfied all the way along. Really impressive performance, both emotionally, their don't even have to act. I mean, this is an honest story, and you see that intimacy. It's projected into the audience very clearly, and great physicality. I mean, both of them are very strong, and again, there's this great partner work that obviously, because of their comfort with one another, excels. So, just amazing job, de Projet Migration. I'm really interested to see how this evolves, if they want to continue with the work, or if I'm hoping they're going to continue working together at least, and how that intimacy that was so evident in this piece will change as they get comfortable with one another and the stakes aren't quite so high.
Yeah, I'd like to mention, to point out that for listeners who missed our show, it could be very interesting for you to go back 2 weeks ago and listen to the podcast of the Movement Museum when they were both on the show, mm-hmm. just to see the interaction they have, because they are hilarious and adorably cute, mm-hmm. and just fantastic to listen to.
Absolutely, yeah. They were definitely a highlight from that episode. All right. So that's Le Projet Migration. I'm going to move on to my second favorite show in the Fringe Festival, which was Sora. Now, this is a completely different kettle of fish, let's say. Whereas Le Projet Migration is very contemporary in format and in content, Sora is, and I've had a couple arguments about this, but I would call it more modern. And it's at least a very formal movement piece. It's movement-based. There isn't any text. There isn't theatricality. It's movement. It's kicks and spins, and these ladies know what they're doing. It's three young, beautiful, talented ladies. You know, black outfits for the most part, just the emphasis is really on the movement. And they all so clearly love what they're doing, and they've put so much passion into this piece. And it's just amazing to watch them dance. It's one of those works where you're not sitting there trying to figure it out. You're just like, wow, that's great. You're so great. yeah, and Sora actually means a bird in flight singing. Anyway, so this kind of emphasizes that image of just like soft beauty, you know, simple. It was great. Did you see this one, JD?
No, I missed it. I saw them perform twice. Once during the
little showcase, the Fringe for All.
Yeah, the showcase, the Fringe for All. Thank you. And I saw them again perform during the dance night at the 13th Hour. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just from seeing those very, very short performances, I can see where you're coming from with the enthusiasm and the movement quality that came into their piece. And of course, like, 2 minutes performance doesn't do justice, mm-hmm. to a show, but I could see how people like modern dance would love that performance, the show.
Yeah. And again, we did talk to these ladies, Emily Barrett and Magali Gates, and a few weeks ago, and they have a third, Alessandra Rigano, but she wasn't in studio with us. A note on the actual choreography of the work, it was, you know, like we were saying, a very formal movement, kind of simple in choreography, and it doesn't break too many boundaries, but they do callbacks. They have kind of segments with blackout segment blackouts, but in odd intervals, and kind of a loose link from piece to piece, I would say, so that it's all one work, but it's composed of several different works. They also do a couple interesting things with light, which was kind of, you know, a fun break for our brains if you're just watching kind of one thing, just pure movement for a long time. It's interesting to kind of bring in a new element where you can kind of use your brain in a new way to kind of start thinking about the lights and what they're doing with the lights. So I appreciated that as far as kind of breaking up the style a bit and giving us something else to latch onto. And it should also be mentioned that these ladies studied at Ballet Divertimento. So there's a little advertisement for Ballet Divertimento if you want to be a superstar dancer. All right, so that was Sora. The next one I want to talk about is Ethereal Tribal. And this is fun because you can actually still catch this show. I believe Mainline is putting them up at later this month. This was a really unique show for the festival. And we also, again, had I believe her name is Sarah? Oh, dear. On a couple weeks ago to talk about this show. And it's a belly dance show. And it's awesome. There's a 10-person troupe or something ridiculous like that. There's two sets of twins in the troupe, and one of the girls was on So You Think You Can Dance. And they use lots of props, lots of really bright, fantastic costumes. Basically, the show is not without gimmicks, but the gimmicks work. You know what I mean? Like, when things are tacky, they're tacky because at one point they were the best way of saying what you're trying to say.
It didn't feel superfluous, I guess, is what you're saying.
I guess not, because of what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a contemporary dance show where somebody was, like, having a seizure on the floor. It's like, okay, yeah, I've seen that before. Thank you. But it was a belly dance show. You know, for belly dance, you're allowed to be big and bright and have two twins doing identical movement. You're like, oh, my God, that's so cool.
What was the name of the show again?
Ethereal Tribal. And, the talent ranged throughout the cast. I mean, some performers were stronger than others, but the beauty is there were a lot of group pieces, and you kind of got to, you get to look at who you want to look at. And they all have these, you know, faces to look at, bellies to look at, hands to look at. There's just a lot going on. It's not, you can't be bored during this show, really. And they do some solos, some duets, and always coming back to kind of group work. And it wasn't trying to be anything more than it was. It didn't take belly dance anywhere else. It was just a strong show in its genre. And it was a lot of fun.
They have their own website, actually, which you can just check out, which is just etherealtribal.com. And they have the whole company history and show dates and stuff.
I think if you get it on your radar, just check it out, because it's well done. It's a lot of fun. So that's Ethereal Tribal.
For the whole family, or?
It's a sexy show, but it's not vulgar in any way. There's, you know, I think you can bring your whole family.
Good.
But yeah, it's definitely pretty sexy. All right. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I'm doing these in, like, the order that I loved them.
I want to hear about Wolves and Selves. I heard a lot about that show.
Oh, we're going to have to skip a couple if you want me to get there.
It sounds like there's some different opinions around our circle right now. So I really want to hear about what's going on with the show.
So that's, like, 9 deep in my pile. But, yeah, we can do that. Okay. Wolves and Selves was a show that was performed at Bain Saint-Michel. And it's by the company Gold Ink Mouth. And these guys are from Toronto?
Well, Andrea de Kesha is from Toronto, mm-hmm. and Aaron Robinson was from California, if I'm not mistaken.
And they were also on the show a couple weeks ago to talk about Wolves and Selves. Do you want to start
with
this one,
JD? What did you think of the show? What was your impression of it?
I found some really powerful, really strong moments in the show.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that piece that I found interesting is that sometimes they were weighted down by how heavily handed the topic was. I mean, a lot of it was about capitalism and commerce and, like, using our natural resources. But through that aspect that did feel heavy at times, there were such strong moments and visuals, and the movement was very, like, very gorgeous, but not just gorgeous in a, oh, this is pretty, but more in a, there is a truth behind that movement, I felt. There was this authenticity of the movement, not just doing movement because you felt it had to be tacked on, but because they actually worked hard on finding their own personal way to express that thematic through their bodies. And even though it wasn't always possible to see the links between what they were trying to put out with their movement and that theme, you could tell that it had progressed from that place of authenticity, which I find is often lacking in contemporary dance. Quite often you'll feel this doesn't come from any internalized association. It just comes from, I feel that this should go there and I'm going to put it like that. And also, as I said, there were some really powerful moments, powerful images that just stick with you.
What were those powerful images?
One of them was, well, a lot of them were about using props, actually. The show starts with, they were wearing these big animal heads on, like, masks kind of thing. And they were just moving with that. And then it switched into a much more vaudevillian, little Broadway-esque dance that again, felt like something taken straight out of Animal Farm. And just this moment really grabbed my attention. Towards the end, they did something that I know Allison did not appreciate as much as I did, where they started talking about this shortage of helium on Earth and how we were maybe the last people to ever do a helium dance. So we had been given balloons.
We had been given balloons filled
with helium at the beginning of the performance.
But this is one of my biggest issues.
That's why I'm bringing it up right now.
You're going to give an audience member an awkward prop. They tied these balloons to our wrists. They're like, oh, welcome. And you're going to make them sit there with this awkward prop, worried that you're going to block the people behind you for 40 minutes. 40 minutes. I got to sit there holding this
great
balloon. No, it's dumb.
Because
so what was
there
the purpose of that then? What was the purpose of that? What do you think their intention was in doing that?
For me, regardless of the message, I'm talking about very, very literally, what it does is it gets us involved in the show. And it was exciting and it was funny and all this. But
they
were trying to endear us to them, which is fair. But they did it at the end of the show. And I felt like had you done that at the beginning, I would have been there with you a little bit more. There was this part where we were given numbers as well on a piece of paper with a word. And the dancer held up the number and everybody who had that number had to say the word out loud. So the audience is participating and you could feel in the room how unenthusiastic people were. It was like four and it was like, Four.
I wasn't unenthusiastic. I was just really stressed out about not saying the word well.
Fair enough, but people weren't into it because that happened before the balloons happened, and we weren't yet endeared to the performers. We weren't yet involved or invested in all. We were just kind of reluctant to participate because this was the first invitation to participate, and it happened so late in the show.
So it sounds like the crafting of their getting our audience participation didn't seem to work as well from...
In my opinion, no. I mean, it actually made me angry.
Yeah, but it depends because, like, the room I was in, there were quite a few people from the other dance companies at the Fringe. And because that, I did feel that a lot of people were very willing to embark on this journey with them, that there wasn't this sort of lack of audience participation.
I understand that sometimes it depends on the audience in the room, but I think they could have fixed that. I think it's also up to the people on stage to design their piece so that the audience has no choice but to be enthusiastic.
Can I just say that I love when Allison gets feisty? Because she's a nice girl. She's very nice. So when she gets feisty, I love it.
I
it's
hope
fantastic.
I'm not being mean.
No. I think that you're being honest how you feel. So that's a great thing.
There's something else that JD said. You were talking about the links, and maybe it sometimes isn't linked. I think that was really generous. I think every 5 minutes of that piece could have been its own work or the beginning of its own work. I think there were a lot of visual and physical propositions that were not necessarily
flushed out.
Fully developed. I think they started one idea and then kind of moved on to another, sometimes came back to it, but never kind of moved it forward. And I just felt like they were getting really excited about doing a show, and they forgot about going through these smaller ideas and making a unified show out of them, as opposed to trying to link all these different ideas they had.
I feel like that's one of the biggest challenges, actually, for especially young artists.
Yeah, for new artists, because they want to get it all out at once. Yeah. And really, you just got to slow down, choose one, go with one idea.
But at the same time, it's something that I have a tendency to do myself, I guess, just throwing everything in the bathwater. And I feel that they didn't stray that much with all of those ideas. I felt that there was a connection between all of them. It could have been more fleshed out, and a few of them could have been left on the side of the road. But I do feel that I prefer personally seeing something like this than the same motif coming over and over and over again. Just the same message being repeated nonstop, which is much more problematic, I find.
All right. I like that review.
Yeah, that got my blood pumping.
Good.
So that was...
Any last words, though, Allison?
No.
I think, again, you were talking about the visuals, the interesting visuals with the masks and or with the fur, we could say. I just didn't find that they were terribly original most of the time. I think they were borrowed ideas.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, it's very easy to say that something is a borrowed idea. But it's daring. It's more daring than a lot of other people may do. And the fact is that they were bringing those ideas and those visuals and trying to make it their own.
But I don't think daring should be a defense. I don't think you should say, you know, this is the victim art argument as well. It's like, oh, you didn't like it because she got naked. No, I don't care if she got naked. I didn't like it, you know?
No, but it's not... I mean, if one of those ideas that you say is a borrowed idea is just her getting naked, there was more to her getting naked,
yes.
I feel, than just, oh, she's going to get naked on stage to shock. I didn't feel that anything part of the show was meant to shock or disturb.
Well, for me, it's because I didn't understand the necessity of a lot of what they were doing, and that's why it felt to me like it was just... for the sake of...
Well, at the same time, if you look at the piece as how humanity is wasting its natural resources, you could say that they were just wasting their natural ideas, and that was a nice metaphor.
I like that. All right, well, we're going to end off on that.
Yeah, I think
but anyways,
that's a
good that was a great review. I think all of our reviews should be like that. Because the truth is, when you go to a dance show, when I go to a dance show, and I'm like, damn, that show, that was mind-blowing. That was the best show I've ever seen. And the lady next to me was like, that was so boring. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How could you think that?
Yeah.
But you know what? Yeah. That's the truth. We all have our own opinions and experiences.
Absolutely.
And perceptive lenses.
What gives value to a show is when you have a lot to say about it. Like, if I didn't have anything to say about the show, then it obviously has no content or nothing to inspire. Even negative response is something, some sort of
So there was a reaction. Lot of value to their show, I guess, then, by that own thinking.
Perhaps. Maybe this is my,
right,
my
next,
like,
360. We got time for one last
okay.
quick review.
So that was Wolves and Selves
maybe
by
something
Golden
that JD
Mouth.
Saw, too. What else did you see, JD?
Went to Simon Jean-Pierrot, but I do have friends in the show, so I feel a bit conflicted about reviewing it.
I could give my ideas.
Okay, let's talk about Simon Jean-Pierrot, then.
Yeah, you just say what you want to say and leave the rest out. Like, that's fine. You don't even have to say anything if you'd rather not. Yeah, but it's true. One of the girls who was performing with us in Eenie Meenie Miney was also in Mon Jean Perrot.
You saw this, Allison?
Yes, I did see this. I saw all of them. Yeah.
Wow.
This was Maxine. And this show was a duo collaboration choreography. It's a lot of C words. And we also had Jelimara Sanchez in studio 3 weeks ago to talk about the show. And she worked with Karin Theore. Yeah. On the piece, and it shows that there's a lot of brain power behind the work. There are what, five performers? Five female performers. A huge elaborate set. There's like huge strips of paper hanging from the ceiling. There are like ink blot cards. There's a plant in a pot. There's a ton of cutlery on the floor. It's just
tennis rackets.
A tennis racket.
Just make everything better, I feel.
Just mayhem. And paint. There's lots of paint in the work. It is chaotic, but it also manages to kind of stay within its realm, I find. The girls start in white outfits, and they change throughout the work into kind of more colors by the end.
They get paint on them,
they get paint on the paper. It's just, it's messy, but it's consistent, I find.
Yeah, one of the interesting aspects of the show, talking with Jelimara Sanchez, one of the things she mentioned was that one of the primary inspirations was impressionistic painting, and how this came about in doing the use of painting in the live performance setting, and even through the movement, what they were inspired by was doing impressionistic painting with the body through the space. And this is a in my opinion, a really risky proposal because you never know what you're going to get. You never know how well it's going to come out. And I don't know how much of the show was fully choreographed or how much of it was just scored. But that approach to impressionistic painting just worked in the context. It was chaotic. It was mayhem. But they managed to hold it together so that there was a whole, that there was a throw line that just kept the show together really well, I found.
And of course there's movement in it, and the movement
beautiful,
is really nice
movement.
Very very fluid, very soft, well sometimes strong as well, but
there was a lot of vivacity. In I know, right?
Good word.
And there was a lot of vivacity in energy, just pure energy being thrown around, but in a controlled fashion, which is just alarmingly like gripping. I find it keeps you at the edge of your seat, and at the same time there is beauty there's passion, there's intensity, and that's a big part of why I love the show so much.
And really strong transitions.
Yeah,
I find they used rhythm a lot to kind of move from one scene to another. You kind of go from group to duet to different things happening at different parts of the stage, to some characters leaving, they obviously concentrated a lot on the transitions as opposed to just kind of breaking it off and moving on to the next thing.
They felt very natural. Especially quite often you had two duets going on at the same time in different parts of the space. Or sometimes it was like a duet with a solo and someone else who was mostly just performing on stage, not doing much. And every time it felt like those transitions happened on their own. It never felt like, okay, that idea is over and we need to move on to something else.
Yeah, I think that's what we have to say. I hope that this project will continue so that we can kind of catch the next round of Mangeons Pierrot, because it was definitely an inspiring show. Really exciting. I think that's all we have time for today. We just did a pile of reviews from the Montreal Fringe Festival. There were like 12 official dance pieces this year. It was crazy, and so we still have a pile more to do, but we'll save that for next time. And next week again, we're going to be talking about more Montreal Complètement Cirque business. So if you're enjoying that ride, please stay with us. So we've been Movement Museum. I'm Allison Burns with JD Papillon and Jen Doan, and we'll be talking at you next week here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Have a good one.